Today on Real Radio.
And only the Christian rightly understands that there's a physical and spiritual world, and we have chosen to elevate the spiritual existence over the physical. You and I today must decide to have our physical world be a subservient tool to the spiritual world in which you and I represent.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and we're looking at a section in chapter 2 where Apostle Paul makes a grand declaration. The natural man, one who is not born from above, will not and cannot understand the things of God. Instead, he simply relies on the conventional wisdom of the world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Worlds in Collision.
But look, it's the work and the ministry and the life of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about. And that makes, by the way, him our greatest advocate. Did you know that, the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to mean any disrespect by this, by no means. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ came to earth and suffered as no will ever suffer or ever has suffered. And in 33 and a quarter years, he went back to heaven where he came from. And for the last 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been here since Jesus left. The Holy Spirit is here now. He's in you who believe. He's in me. And the Bible says he's everywhere. Psalm 139 says he's everywhere. The Holy Spirit. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. His work is powerful in your life, and that's what and whom Paul is talking about. God the Holy Spirit. Now mark this down. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says our life with God is a liberated life, and that comes by the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Listen, anybody in here struggle with the Trinity? Listen to this message this morning. The Lord is that or the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's the liberating Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life liberates you. And listen, today, I'll be straight to the point. If you are envious, if you are contentious, if you are involved in sinful living, you are not liberated by the Holy Spirit. You can be a Christian and be in bondage, and you've grieved the Holy Spirit. But he's the great liberator. Isn't it interesting that the U.S. Army and Army Air Corps and Marines and everybody went into Europe 60 years ago to liberate Europe? How did that happen? The United States invaded Europe to liberate Europe from Adolf Hitler. The invasion of the spirit of America, as it were, freedom, liberated nations. Think of the Holy Spirit. He comes into a life as an invading force, and he takes over in the life of that person who says, Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior, be my Lord. And when you bow your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in, and he liberates you. That is an awesome thing. And that's why a Christian today who's living in sin is living a life like a bird with its wings clipped. Oh, he's a bird, all right, and he's in the flock. But he can't fly. Oh, you're going to heaven, but you're miserable. Listen, by faith, you need to receive again the power, the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Not only that, he's personal. John 20:21. I've shared this with you before. I like sharing this. It's a great question over a coffee table someday is this. When was the first person born again? Don't you love that? If you have to be born again, when was the first time the believers were born again? The Bible answers that. It's personal, and it comes by the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, verse 21. And Jesus said to them, that is the 12, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And that was the first event of believers being born again. He moved inside of them to never leave. Faith is able to receive. And all of these things that God gives, they are a gift. I'm thinking right now about a gift, and you think about the dependence that you and I have on a gift. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm my own man. I made it all my way. Nobody gave me nothing. Oh, let me tell you something. Boy, I tell you, don't be so shallow, because what you have is only the tip of the iceberg. The truth of the matter is, God has given you life. And by his generosity, by his gift, you're breathing right now. He can go like this and seal off your airway. He could do that if he wanted to. And I think about my granddaughter right now. I forget how old she is, but she's like 2.5 months, maybe something like that. And everything, listen, everything that she gets, if she likes it or not, because she's dumb right now. She doesn't know nothing. She doesn't understand diaper changes are good. She doesn't understand that she has to sleep. She doesn't understand that she has to eat. So what happens? The loving parents grab the baby and from the very moment take care of its life, right? And gives it everything. Let me ask you something. No one's walking up to Rebecca and Shannon, mom and dad, and saying, feed her. There's no gun to their head. Love does that. Love says, I wonder if she's hungry. I wonder if she needs a diaper change. I wonder if she, are you with me? It's all a gift, is it not? It's all a gift given. You think she's going to get a bill at the end when she's 18 years old? Mom and dad are going to unfurl a bill? Now that would be a good idea. Actually, they are going to get a bill from our government. But anyway, think about that for a moment. It's all a gift. Listen, are you a man of unbelief right now? Everything that you have that is meaningful has been gifted to you. Don't fall for the trick that what you have physically in this world is what dictates the meaning of your life. You've been tricked. Love, relationship, health, forgiveness, air, food, God gives. Amen. Amazing. He's so good. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace, the gift of God, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nobody can walk around and say, I saved myself. I don't need God to save me. I'll do it to myself. You're lost. Also this, when faith hits unbelief, faith is able to know. Faith is able to know. He says in verse 12, but we might know the things. Note the definite article before things. The things of the utmost value, the ultimate things, the spiritual knowledge of the Holy One of God. That's what he's talking about. The spiritual knowledge of God. Christian, you and I, our greatest pursuits are to pursue the things of God. Are you guys awake right now? Yes. What are you pursuing? What are we longing for? Faith is able to know. It's able to receive, and because it's able to receive, now faith is truly the vehicle by which we know things. That's a wonderful thing to consider. And it really is involving in every aspect of our lives. Are you an evolutionist or an atheist? Did you know your life is a living contradiction? Because, for example, let's say you're an evolutionist and you grab your pickaxe and your shovel and your brush and you go dig around in the hills with hopes or faith that you're going to find something. And when you find that thing, you begin to speculate, oh my goodness, this has got to be an ancient human tooth. It's got to be 40 billion years old. And then you later find out that it's a pig tooth that's about 2 weeks old. And you're very disappointed. That's not knowledge. To know God, he has engineered it this way, that you come to him by faith. That's the vehicle you drive in. How do I get to know God? You drive to him in faith. And you say, that's ridiculous. No, but everybody practices faith in something. You see, but when you get to the end of your pursuit, what do you have versus what I have? I have God on the other end, and you have a 2-week-old pig tooth. and you go search and search and search, and you're still lonely and empty inside because you know that you don't know what could be known. Our God is not some sort of an agnostic God, that he is a God that exists. He's not the God of the deist. Well, he's out there somewhere. He's the great creator, but he won't let us get near him. That's not what my Bible says. No, it's a relationship with the Holy One of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Look at this. Look at your body. Look at your body. What does that word body mean? Slap it. Your body. This is amazing. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. What's on your body? Do you have a ring on your body? Belongs to God. You got clothes on? Please. Belongs to God. Your skin belongs to God. Your kidney belongs to God. Everything on you belongs to God. Your Bible belongs to God. Are you going to go home today? You're going to go to your house, apartment? Belongs to God. You have a wallet in your pocket? Belongs to God. Don't go there, Pastor. You have kids? They belong to God. You got a bicycle? They belong to God. You have a boat? It belongs to God. It's his. Amen. Everything's his. This building belongs to God. Everybody in it belongs to God. And the person here today says, I don't believe in God. You belong to him anyway. Now, the outcome is going to be horrible for you, but you will stand before your maker and give an account. I suggest you change your mind now. Amen. Okay? It's going to be hot today. It's going to be cooler than it was yesterday. But for the Christian man, this is as hot as it gets. Fall is coming. And for the believer, even on the hottest day, we could say, you know what? Things could change any second. Rapture could come. But we're not going to hell. We're not going to hell because he's given us a gift. And you know what? By the grace of God, we've received that gift, and now we know that God is good. It's also an identification. The Holy Spirit is not only holy, and he makes our lives holy, dedicated unto him, but he is our identification. Man, I hope you can relate to what I'm talking about right now. But when we relate to one another, there is a Christian, and I want to be careful how I say this, there is a deep inside Christian bond that goes on with believers when they get to know one another. It's not wimpy. It's not mamby-pamby. It's not pretend. It's for real. I like to put it this way. It's practical. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, this is the reason why. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. He's talking to believers. Whether you're a Jew or you're a Greek, whether slave or free, he's talking to the believers. Jews who come to Jesus, Greeks, non-believers, non-Jews who become believers, a slave man, a free man. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. He's talking to the believer. Also this, listen, when faith hits unbelief and there's this great collision of these two worlds of belief and unbelief, faith is able to rejoice. Rejoice in the midst of everything. Faith. He says there, the things that have been freely given to us by God. Church, get ready. Are you guys awake? Get ready. Write these verses down. We're going to go fly through these verses. Faith is able to receive, yes. Faith is able to know, and faith causes us to be able to rejoice. Number one is this. Watch this. It's fun stuff, and you leave this building today more confident because of it. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Parakletos, that he may abide with you forever. Notice, he, personal pronoun. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You analyze those few verses right there. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's coming. He is God, and I'm not going to leave you alone. No, notice, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and oh, by the way, I will be with you. How in the world, in this world, Can Jesus be with you and I right now? By the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? God is one. Isn't that fun to think about? You say, well, wait a minute, where's the Father? On the throne in heaven. Where is the Son? He's on the throne seated next to the Father. But wait a minute, I thought you said he was in my heart. He is. Wait, how can he be in this place? He's God. Well, how does he do that? By the Holy Spirit. Well, where is the Holy Spirit? Everywhere, says the Bible. I thought you said it was in my heart. He's right there too. Whose heart? The believer's heart. Here's the scary thing. The unbelieving heart, he's outside of, near your shoulder, like Jiminy Cricket, saying, hey, you need Jesus. Isn't it amazing to think? This is almost kind of poetic, but I could argue this theologically true. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but is he present in your heart? You've got to let him in. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed, stamped, tattooed, if you would, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What in the world does that mean? Those of us who are Christians walking around this world, we've got a tattoo on us. And the tattoo is owned by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, who can see it? Only the believer. Where is it? Huh? Where's it at? God can see it. We've been marked by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Do you know that in your life? It's exciting to know. So he's our guarantee. Listen, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, as I read earlier, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's a liberated life. It's a lordship life. Look at lordship, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Every believer right here, right now, has been adopted by God into the family of God. And he's personal. As I read earlier, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. But keep this in mind, Galatians 4, verse 5, he's the gift. The Bible says in Galatians 4, 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. That is, every human being on earth is under the judgment of the law of God, condemned. That we might receive the adoption as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Look at capital S in your Bible. The Holy Spirit of his Son into your hearts. What's the result? You cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a what? Son, are you excited about this? Is it just me? This is awesome. You guys can go out of here today absolutely resilient to the world that's around you. Because listen, when the world comes picking on you, you say, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. So you know what? You take that thing. This lady came up to me last week. She goes, my husband's having a terrible time with pornography. I go, where's he getting that from? She goes, from the computer, from the internet. And I said, well, is it important to you? She goes, this is going to destroy my marriage. And it will. What do I do? I said, take the computer and throw it in the yard. She goes, just bring it back in. I go, bust it up. Well, come to find out, she had a swimming pool. That'd do it. Take the computer. And she was afraid. She said, he'll go crazy. So you know what? Let him go crazy. In fact, call 911 right before you throw it in the pool. Think about that. It's all over the news right now. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe Satan's trying to wake us up to something. But have you noticed people have been finding snakes on their porches and stuff across America? Rattlesnakes, boa constrictors, people finding snakes on their doors. I hate snakes. What's with that? Why is a snake coming to the door of somebody's house? Would somebody open the door? Honey, a rattler. Come on in. Somebody put the little mouse guts on the ground. Let them come on in. You would never do that. And yet, chatting with your little boyfriend from high school. What are you doing? I'd rather let a rattlesnake into my house than your old boyfriend from high school. Well, we're just chatting. That's how people get pregnant.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Worlds in Collision. It's a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, where the Apostle Paul continues building his case for godly wisdom and spiritual discernment. Worlds in Collision. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, today, Friday, Real Radio is when we have our feature called Ask Pastor Jack. Remember, you can email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This one, Pastor Jack, comes from Michael in Brentwood, Tennessee. Michael says, Pastor Jack, Matthew 24:13 says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Now, to me, that sounds like eternal salvation is a reward for having endured to the end. Isn't this in conflict with the whole concept of salvation by grace?
Listen, the question, I love you, buddy, but the question's kind of convoluted. Here's the reason why. You're mixing the eternal doctrine of salvation with a time-sensitive event.
Oh, good.
In Matthew chapter 24, we're talking about those who come to the end of the tribulation events. Most believers, by the way, will perish during that time. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 13 that they'll be beheaded for their faith in Christ. It has nothing to do with earning salvation.
Right.
It has nothing to do with eternity. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with hanging in there, keeping your faith, and staying with Jesus until the very end, be it your life or the return of Christ, or quite frankly, today. I mean, that verse specifically deals with the consummation of the age and the tribulation period. But it certainly applies to all of us as believers right now, is to stay true and to stay close to Jesus.
Right.
This is, by the way, the doctrine of John 15, beginning at verse 1, of abiding in Christ. The believer will abide in Christ. Salvation purely is a gift from God, not by works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9.
Right.
We are not rewarded for hanging in there. It's the grace of God, Jude 24. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his presence with joy. So the question, I think the question that you want to be asking is, if we're saved and converted and truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit, will we make it to the end? The answer is yes.
Right.
And that will be by the grace of God. God will give us the ability to abide. God will give us all of this to continue. Our response is to have an open heart, willing and obedient to, as John 15 says, to abide in Christ. And so every believer will make it to the end mm-hmm. of their journey.
Right.
When I say their journey, I don't want to sound corny, but if today, as it will be, the last day for some people.
Yeah.
Some believers are inheriting the kingdom right now,
right.
Dying as we speak. There will be those at any given time where they'll be tortured for Christ, or they'll die in some hospital somewhere, or they'll get hit by a car. That promise is for them too. They endured unto the end. In
right.
this context, though, Matthew 24 is the end of the age.
Right.
When I say the end of the age, the context of before the second coming of Christ, which is during the tribulation period.
Okay, makes sense to me. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.